You're listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners. To donate, click on the Canada Helps button or go to westhill.net/donate.
Good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak to you today, because the mission of everyone in the world should be not just in regard to Israel-Palestine, that we should inform ourselves what is the truth and try to spread the word around in order to be able to get the masses to put pressure on our government, on other governments, on, for example, in this case, Israel, to stop the injustices. I just want to make one comment before I forget that there is a table outside there which I put a lot of articles, some of them older, some of them newer, for about the situation, about different people who wrote about this subject. And I have some cards there. Please take anything, any one of those, or more than one, whatever you want from that desk. It's very informative. But also, I would say that this year is the year of solidarity with the Palestinian people, which declared by the UN. In regard to Israel-Palestine, the popular story goes like this. And many people believe it. It becomes a very simple thing, and most Israelis and most Jews believe in that. But during the Nazi era, the Jews were, of course, suffering so much and so on, and then they started the movement to come to Palestine, to their ancestral land, and they came there to live in peace and so on. And since then, the Arabs and Palestinians and so on, they just want to kill them, and they have the right to defend themselves. Well, let me tell you, there is nothing further from the truth in this. And I will try to touch on three subjects today. I hope that I will have time to do that, because it will be obviously not time enough to touch on 100 years of history. But I would like to touch on Zionism, the ideology of Zionism, the development of Zionism, and then about 67 and onward about West Bank, and the last one about Gaza, and what is really the truth about Gaza. And of course, I hope that at the end of my talk, people will see the injustices that are done to the Palestinian people, and maybe we'll get more informed and more pressure put on our government and so on. One general comment that has also become known around the world, that the Jews are a race or a nation. Really and truly, they are not. They are just a bunch of people belong to a certain faith, like any other religion in the world. For example, a Jew from Mongolia has absolutely nothing to do with a Jew from Germany, not in any way, any shape or form. So they're just a bunch of them that came to Israel and became like the Jews are now a race or a nation. And also, there is more or less, when we talk about Jews all the time, we talk about the Jews from Europe. They suffered in Europe from pogroms, from the Nazis, from this and that. But, in effect, many Jews lived around the world in peaceful and harmony and prospered everywhere and so on. So, there was just one region that was after the Jews, and that was in Europe. Now, there is another myth going around that this conflict is about 1,000 years or more old, so let them sort it out between themselves. You know, what we can do here, you know. That's again not true whatsoever. The whole thing is about 100 to 150 years old from the start of the Zionism and their propaganda spreading and their actions and so on. The aim of the Zionists, the beginning of the Zionists was around 1880. 1870, 1880, 1890, that's when the Zionism idea started with a handful of people in Europe. Their ideology was to come to Palestine, to expel as many Palestinians or indigenous people, to kill the rest and take over the land and establish a white Jewish European nation or country there. Nothing more, nothing less. They didn't even want the Jews from the Orient, the Middle East, around the Mediterranean, anything like that. Herzl, which was one of the founders of Zionism in 1896, he wrote a book which you can find in the library. It's about 80 pages. It's called The Jewish State. And in it you can find how he itemizes every point, how to come to Palestine and how to get rid of the Palestinians and how to establish all the institutions in Israel and so on. The only thing he doesn't advocate is violence, but the ones that come after him all specifically they advocated using any violence whatsoever. Okay? Ben Gurion, I don't know if you, some of you perhaps know who Ben Gurion was. He was one of the main Zionist terrorists, and he was the first Prime Minister of Israel. In 1937, he said, "We must expel Arabs and take their place." In 1946, he said, "If need be, we shall take the country by force. If Palestine proves too small, the frontiers will have to be expanded." There was another character, Vladimir Jabotinsky, who was also one of the first Zionists, and he was one of the most extremist. In fact, he was so extremist that Ben-Gurion used to call him, instead of Vladimir Jabotinsky, he used to call him Vladimir Hitler. Jabotinsky in 1923 said, "There should be no negotiation over peace accord until the Jews have colonized the whole of Palestine and put the Arabs behind an iron wall." This thing from the beginning of the 1900s and so on, it started progressing, the idea of Zionism and so on, and a few Jews came to the region there, and then there were few factions with the Zionists created, each one like a militia, and their idea was that the only way to take over Palestine is first of all to get rid of the British, because they had the mandate at that time in Israel, and they didn't want them to witness what are they going to do. So they started killing British soldiers. Once they killed British soldiers, they also baby trapped their bodies. So other British will come to collect them, they will be blown up. In 1946, they blew up King David Hotel, which was the headquarters of the British people in Israel, in Palestine, there was no Israel, and killed 91 people and injured 45 people. Finally, Britain gave up in 1947, when the first year of UN formation, they told UN, "We don't want it, just take it from us." And then came the idea. Mainly the UN then was really in the UK, US, and the Jewish lobby that put a lot of pressure on them, because they already had the clout in Britain and in US to give them a land there. And then there came the idea of partitioning that land between the Jews and the Palestinians. The Jews at that time, in 1947, they owned 8% of the land. And the population was, the Jewish population was 33% of the whole total population. The UN decided to divide the country and give it 56% to the Jews, while they had only 8% of the land and 44% to the Palestinians. Even that The Zionists did not really want it. They wanted more. And in 1947, again the Iranians said, we take what is given to us now, we take the rest later. And we know that later came, actually. Now, again, the popular belief is that the whole thing happened in 1948. That's when the war broke out, that's when the Arab nations attacked the Jews because they did not agree to this kind of partition. By the way, the partition that was done between the Jews, UK and US mainly, not one word of consultation was done with the Palestinians. Absolutely nothing. Okay? So, the popular belief is that everything happened in 1948. That's when the Jews drove out the Palestinians. Absolutely not true. Before 1948, already 200 villages, Palestinian villages, were obliterated. Some 300,000 Palestinians were driven off their land. So this is not what we know that it's anti-Israel. They already had a plan how to do it. There was a village that called Deir Yassin, where some of the Zionists came in 1947, surrounded the village, and killed everyone, man, woman, and child. And that was in order to scare the rest of them to flee. And that's what many of them did. The one that was mastermind behind this operation was Menachem Begin, who became also Prime Minister of Canada. Benny Morris, Israeli historian, recently uncovered that Ben Gurion in 1948 ordered his generals to line up Palestinians against the wall and shoot them for the others to see and flee. One of the generals who executed this order was none other than Rabin, the angel. Now, by the end of 1948 skirmishes, the Jews managed to capture 78% of the land. Not 56% that was given to them, but 78%. In other words, only 22% of the original land that belonged to the Palestinians remained in their hands. In any case, we should ask ourselves, all right, there was a division, we went into the Palestinian state. Israel always had the rights to this, to that. When was the Palestinian state? Well, this didn't happen. And right up to today, they have to negotiate with Israel to get the state. This is absurd. Israel took their land and everything, and now they have to negotiate with him to see if they were going to give them anything or not. By today's standard, absolutely, unequivocally, those Zionists will be considered Al-Qaeda or ISIS. And this is all hidden from history. But it's there. It's there in the archives of Israel. You can find anything. It's there. It's online. Everything. Another point is that always is there is, and Netanyahu pushes this a lot, that the Jews, for spoil, if he goes to the United Nations, he said, 4,000 years we wanted to come to our land. There is nothing like that also. The Jews really, most Jews did not want to go to Palestine. They wanted to go to UK, to Canada, to US, and so on. They did not like to go there. The only thing that happened that put really the momentum behind the influx of Jews to Palestine, it was the Holocaust. And there, all the UK and other people, US, they helped people to go there because basically they really didn't want the Jews because it was still anti-Semitism was a bit rampant. The key to understand the difference between Judaism and Zionism is that Judaism represents the ethical and moral values of the Jewish faith. while Zionism is a racist, fascist, and colonial ideology. I'm going to skip a piece here because I don't think I will have enough time, and that's about the myth of Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. And I would like to say something about it, what type of discrimination goes inside Israel with 20% Palestinians who are Israeli citizens, and the horrendous discrimination against them in all aspects of life. But I'll go on to continue. One thing I would like to also mention, and that's not ever talked about, that the Jews in the diaspora, Jews around the world, the prominent Jews, the Jewish Rabbi, so on, they at least have 50% to blame for what's happening and happened in Israel, because they are the ones that gave all the support, all the money, all the technology, all the ammunition by pressuring our government, Western government, and so on. They could stop Israel many, many years ago by giving support, by giving conditions also. So they are much to blame for what is done. Another one to blame, of course, is the Christian Zionists. They have much clout in the U.S. There are about 50 million Christian Zionists in the U.S., and there is a lot of them in Canada also, who have absolutely believed that Israel and the Jews should take all of the land no matter how, because of course, the second coming of Christ will happen. So they're putting a lot of pressure in the U.S. government for that, and raising millions of dollars to give to Israel. Of course, that belief nobody touches about the end of it, and the end of this belief is that once Israel and the Jews take over the land, then they have two options. One of them is to accept Christ, and if not, they have to be exterminated. But nobody mentions that. Now, came 1967 war, and that gave the opportunities to Israel to continue the second phase of colonizing the whole of Palestine and the West Bank. If we just say one word about the Golan Heights, because that totally forgotten now, Israel annexed the Golan Heights, so really what happened there, 200 towns were totally obliterated and 120,000 people became refugees. The same thing they did a lot in Lebanon, of course, massacres, endless massacres in Lebanon. I don't know if you ever heard about Sabra and Shatila, two refugee camps where they were also massacred, everyone there. They helped the militias in Lebanon to do the job there. That was the case of in Lebanon. Twice Israelis bombed the UN post, the ones that were keeping peace. And even Kofi Annan, the head of the UN, said that it was a deliberate attack, and that's because they don't want them to see and to witness the atrocities that they've done in Lebanon. I would like to touch on what's happening in the West Bank all these decades. Basically, up to now, there are 650,000 radical Jewish settlers that moved into West Bank. Before 1967, there was not even one. Now we have 650,000 of them. There is about 200 towns and villages that are only Jews built there. There are roads, highways, and so on that only Jews can access. And during these times, the Israeli army demolished more than 30,000 Palestinian homes. They uprooted over a million fruit trees. The 750,000 Palestinians went through Israeli jails. 750,000. At all times, there is between 6,000 to 12,000 in prison. Many of them are in administrative detention. In other words, it can be perpetually extended. And one of the reasons is it's exchange of prisoners. If you all remember that Israel changed 1,000 prisoners for one soldier that was captured in Gaza, and the whole world was in awe. Wow, look at these people. 1,000 people for one person? Well, it's very simple. Israel collects people, kidnaps people left and right all the time. About 2 months after the release of those 1,000 people, 450 of them were captured back in 2 months. And now, because of what happened in Gaza and before they went to the West Bank because of the three Israelis that were killed, they collected the rest of them. So all the 1,000 are back in prison. Anytime they want people, they just go and round up people and take them and put them in prison. And this is one of the purposes, is to exchange them in case there is any kidnapping. Also, just to say this, that any time during the years, any Palestinian, not in recent years, but after about 10 years ago, any Palestinian prominent person in West Bank who talked about peace and coexistence with Israel, they are either sitting in jail or they've been assassinated. Israel doesn't want to hear those people. Jimmy Carter wrote a book, which I recommend that you read it, and it's called Peace, Not Apartheid. And he itemizes there all the times that there were negotiations between Israel and Palestinians and U.S., which have been dozens and dozens of them. And he actually tells you that every time Israel came with hundreds and hundreds of conditions which nobody could accept them in order to schedule the peace talks. Because peace talks, they do not serve Israeli policies. I'm not talking about the population, I'm talking about the Israeli government, the army, and the religious sect in Israel. Because there are many religious sects in Israel, but mainly the ones that went to West Bank, which are very, very violent, very violent people. Just to show you that really Israel does not want to sit to negotiate, take the example of the last negotiations, which lasted for 9 months, which ended up about 3 months ago, where Kerry, the minister, the U.S. minister, was running like an idiot between Israel and Palestine, trying to make some kind of peace. But before the negotiation could take place, Israel demanded that the Palestinians have to agree that they can continue during the negotiation, Israel can continue to confiscate their land. Is there anything more absurd than that? They're going to sit down and talk finally about the land, but Israel during this time has the right to take more and more of their land. Palestinians did not agree at the beginning, but finally they were forced to, by U.S., to sit and negotiate, which of course they broke the negotiation with Israel also. In 2011, Israeli generals had a conference in Israel as how to stop non-violence resistance. Non-violence resistance. Okay. Retired head of Mossad, which is the secret police of Israel, head of Shin Bet, that is another secret services, and the head of the Israeli army, retired ones, just recently said, the governing Israelis are unfit to govern. They are mad and do not want peace. Basically, the idea is, is to take over the West Bank. Everything is aimed to take over the West Bank. And that's what they're doing every day. There is not a day that they're not building more and more. There's not a day that the settlers are not attacking Palestinians working in their field. They're beating up children who go to schools and so on. Give you an example, for example, city of Hebron. City of Hebron has about 160,000 Palestinians, and it's a very, very old city. Palestinians lived there for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. 800 settlers went to Hebron, in the center of Hebron. Israeli army destroyed a lot of homes in order to have them open space so they can protect them. All the Palestinians home around it, all the windows and doors, they have heavy, heavy wire mesh because the Israeli settlers, they throw stones at their homes. It was so bad that they had to put nets over the roads between this side of the road to that side of the road, so the stones that they were throwing on Palestinians would not hurt them. So what they do now, they throw urine and excrement. Also, by Israel having this occupation going, enormously benefits financially and economically from this situation, because during the years Israel totally decimated Palestinians' economy, and everything nowadays, almost everything nowadays, is supplied to them by Israel, and in inflated prices. In other words, Israel makes billions of dollars every year by supplying everything to the Palestinians. So that's another thing. It's good for this, how they benefit from this. Also, Israel does not have a constitution and doesn't have declared borders. For obvious reasons, they never had declared borders so they can expand it whenever they like it. They don't have a constitution, because one of the main things written in the constitution is that all the citizens of the country have equal rights. And that cannot be, because there's no equal rights to the Palestinians in Israel. Of course, we shouldn't forget to mention the First Nations, because they suffered a lot of the same. They suffered, the First Nation, a lot of the same fate as the Palestinians went through for decades. And still, the First Nations, not all justice done by them. Another general note is, well, this conflict, there is a conflict. We always say there is a conflict, or there is a war between Palestinians or Gaza, or so on, between Gaza and Israel and so on. These are not wars, these are not conflicts. It's one strong nation oppressing another defenseless people. How can you compare Israel with all its might? Israel has the fourth largest military in the world. Israel supplies arms, manufactures arms, and their arms sales are about $8 billion a year. They supply arms to 140 countries around the world. How you can compare them to Palestinians who may have those few rockets that fizzle to nothing? So this is not a war, it's just a massacre. Also, to say how Hamas was created, well, it's very simple. When people are oppressed, that's what happens. They go to extremists. The same thing with Hezbollah, because of their oppressed so much in Lebanon. That's how Al-Shabaab was created, because of invasion of Somalia. This is how Al-Qaeda was created, because of the invasion in Afghanistan. And ISIS of today, how this was created. The same thing that happened to Iraq. So it's no wonder why Hamas, why people voted for Hamas in Gaza. Okay. Now, talking about Gaza, Gaza is about half of the size of Toronto. The population is about 1.8 million people. And there there was a time that Israel went into Gaza in order also to push the Gazan people out. It was about some 15 years ago. 18,000 settlers settled in Gaza. They took over 18% of the land and so on. And after a few years, that was a lot of massacres Israel did to the Palestinians there, to the Gazans, finally they pulled out the settlers from Gaza. And every time that you hear now Israelis or Jews talk about anything, they say, well, look, we got out of Gaza. And what we got for it? Markets. So how can you trust them? How can they make peace with them? Well, again, there is absolutely nothing true in this. First of all, there's 8,000 settlers. Every one of them was settled. Israel gave them $500,000 to each and a home in West Bank, and they settled them in West Bank. And Israel got out of Gaza because of mainly two reasons. One of them, there was a push that time from the roadmap in order to do peace between Israel and Palestinians, and Israel was afraid that it will have momentum, and they thought if they get out of Gaza, they can show here, look at us, how good we are, and stop anything talking about the West Bank, because the West Bank is the goal. The other thing that they got out of Gaza, it was because about 500 Israeli officers and pilots, which were the elite in Israel, came with a letter that we refuse, and that's their words, we refuse to indiscriminately throw bombs from the sky on densely defenseless population of the Palestinians. And Israel got a bit scared of that, and they just pulled out of Gaza. And so it's not because they were anything to do with good faith. Of course, in 2006, when the Gazan people chose Hamas, they thought maybe they helped them, Israel immediately put a total blockade. By the way, blockade on Gaza existed from 1967. It's not anything new, but it wasn't very harsh. Once they elected Hamas people, Israel, and the election was fair by any standard, international standard. But Israel decided they didn't like them, and they put a total blockade on Gaza. For 2 years they went and threw missiles from the air, killing heads of Hamas, and so on. And that's when the rocket started. So it's not that they were rockets and Israel retaliates. It's the other way around. Always Israel did some atrocities there, some killings there, and then they threw the rockets. Before 2008 massacre, the same thing, Israel killed twice some Palestinians because there was a ceasefire. And Hamas offered Israel to continue the ceasefire, but Israel wanted to break it, so they went and they killed twice scores of Gaza, and that's when they threw rockets, and Israel said, you see, we cannot do any peace with them, we cannot hold the ceasefire here. Now, what are the real reasons Israel wants to keep Gaza the way it is? One of them, it's good for election purposes. 2008, 2012, there were elections in Israel. 2 months before that, it's a good reason to rally the troops. If there is fear, the Gaza people can come and swallow us. And that's what we have to rally the troops. A big thing is testing weapons. Israel, as I said, manufactures a hell of a lot, and they have to test their weapons. They also test weapons of the U.S., and they get very, very compensated for that. Okay? And Israel also with Canada, that's another story. There's about 50 factories that supply arms to Israel, Canadian companies. Also, Gaza, they keep it like this in order to divert attention from the West Bank. Because again, the main purpose is West Bank. Another thing, the reason is gas discovery. There is a huge natural gas discovery at the border of Israel and Gaza. And of course, Israel would never let them touch this because they want it all. So those are the reasons Israel wants to keep Gaza the way it is, not to make any peace with Hamas. They could do this endless time because Hamas many times offered Israel negotiations and they won it. And think I have to jump to the end because of no time. So what are the main problems really in this situation? Why all of this is happening? There are a few simple reasons. One of them is that Israel and the policymakers in Israel managed to dehumanize the Palestinians. So Israelis today, they don't look upon Palestinians as people. If they kill one or 10 or 100, nothing. It just doesn't mean anything to them. Another big factor is that the Israelis and the Jews around the world still feel that they are the victims. It's really unbelievable, but this victimhood cannot leave them. Like in Israel, they absolutely believe that they are the victims, that they are fighting for survival. And no matter, they do not associate anything that they do to Palestinians only once if there is somebody comes and kills a settler or something like this, they get enraged because they feel that they are always the victims. There is an Israeli writer, journalist in Israel, 30 years veteran of the affairs in Israel, and he said that never in the history there was a nation who oppressed for decades another people, but the whole time felt that he is the victim himself. There is another thing, of course, we hear all the time, anti-Semitism, and so on. Well, everything, there's nothing in it. This is just a tool by Israel and the Jews to use. If everybody talks against Israel, becomes an anti-Semite. Of course, cannot call me anti-Semite, so I became a Jew-hater and a self-hating Jew, because they have slogans for everybody in order to keep everybody silent. So I became a self-hating Jew, and many people like me. There are hundreds of thousands of people in Israel and outside Israel who totally oppose what Israel is doing. Okay? Palestinians basically have three demands. Very simple. One of them is they want the Israelis to get out of their land, just to leave them alone. The other one is they want the right of return or some compensation. And the third one is, I forgot. Oh, yes. The third one is they want equality for the Palestinian people who live in Israel. So those are basic three demands that the Palestinians, they don't want anything else, they don't want to wipe Israel out, they cannot wipe Israel out, and so they just want Israel to leave them alone. But of course this would not ever happen. Israel would never become a state. Let me tell you that absolutely, categorically, Israel will not give them a land, they just will take it and take it. In conclusion, the only thing that we can do is educating ourselves and seeing what is the truth. And the information is there. There is a hell of a lot of information. It's easy to access. There is a lot of propaganda and so on going around the world. And the Western government, like our government, US and so on, supporting Israel for different reasons, because it's good for them politically and militarily and so on. So really, we cannot listen to our government, what they say. We have to do it ourselves. And I think I will stop here because John told me get off the podium. So I have a lot more to say, but maybe some other time. Thank you very much.